welcome to Vision Scope, a program designed to educate and inform on matters relating to disabilities. My name is Wilbert Williams. Thanks for tuning in to Vision Scope. We have a very interesting program lined up for you, so I trust you will stay tuned. Precious Henry is a Nigerian. Precious went through rehabilitation and then decided to set up her own business. She has gone into the cosmetic line and she has set up her business and is now employing a number of people with disabilities. Today, Precious is going to talk about her business and give us an insight into work for the blind in Nigeria. She is also a very avid social worker and travels quite extensively throughout the country of Nigeria. Let's listen to what she has to say. Yeah, Precious, good to have you back with us.
It's a pleasure.
The last time you were talking about your business venture, I think we got as far as the business. And we wanted to find out how you are doing internationally with the business. Let's start there.
Okay, yeah. Of course, for us as a business entity here, of course, like I shared the other day, currently about 2 years in business, because trying to set up so many things. For now, we leverage social media platforms to market our business, to market our products, to market what we're doing. Then as for getting our products to our end users, probably those outside Nigeria, we've not really been able to do a lot on that. Our marketing has just been within the borders of Nigeria. Although we hope in future that we get to reach out to some of our customers within the African continent and even beyond Africa. So for now, we are only leveraging social media platforms to let people know what we're doing, market to people, and stuff like that.
Have you an idea as to the population of Nigeria? What is the total population?
Over 200 million people.
Ah, so you have a huge market. You don't have to go anywhere else.
Yeah, you can see that again. It's a huge market.
Yeah, you don't have to go.
Now, let me give you.
I think it's about 206 million to be exact.
206 million. Okay.
Right. Then, of course, you know that's at the recent census, which is apparently over 10 years. But then, of course, I believe Nigerian government is working on taking another census, very soon. But then, before we even delve into that. For our business, of course, you know, what we do is daily consumables. You know that every day people do laundry, people take their baths. Yeah, that's nobody that will take a bath in a day and you didn't do that with a soap. So let's assume for our soap, maybe let me use the US equivalent, dollar equivalent, to say maybe it goes for $3, $5, and you see someone doing a laundry like twice in a week. That's about if we to make do with like $3, that's like $6 in a week. Now multiply it by because in marketing, you're meant to have at least 15% of the population should be your target. So if we had to say 15% of over 200 million people, you know, we're talking about
13 million, roughly 13.5
million people. So you can multiply six US dollar times, you know, two like in that in a month. It's kind of huge, but you know the problem here, of course. What you are into, there's so many other persons inside of that. So the competition is there in the market. Mm-hmm. And of course, you really need to put out your best foot to be able to impress your buyer. So, but somehow we are really, we're making moves. We're making moves. So we are apparently 2 years, like I said, but then the market and our customer base is gradually increasing. Mm-hmm. And we hope to do more better.
How many people you're employing at the moment?
All right. As at this January, we Lakhatod, of course, is a startup. We just have about 5 people on our payroll. Mm-hmm. They're actually, of course, apart from the some satellite marketers we used to market what we're doing, but as for inside the company, we work with 5 people right now.
But as the business grows, you are prepared to expand and to hire more people, I would imagine.
Definitely, if things continue the way they are doing, hopefully before the second quarter of this year, we should be able to get more people. Because the demands are actually kind of increasing, especially the tablets are for laundering. Yeah, the demands are actually quite increasing. So definitely we need to get more factory workers that will be at factory to actually do the production. Yeah.
Would you like to tell us a little bit about the attitude of your workers? What is the attitude like in general?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's you're putting me on a spot. But of course, well, it's shocking to hear that I have amazing staff. Like, they are amazing people. Very supportive. Mm. Of course, very industrious too.
You know the reason why I'm asking that question. Once you are in rehabilitation internationally, you know that people with disabilities in general, they will want as much as they can get out of a business, but are they prepared to put in an equal amount of effort and so into the business? That's why I asked the question, because that will make a big difference. So what are things like in terms of worker attitude and, you know, worker satisfaction? This is tell it like it is, you know, so tell us.
Okay, fine. I'm going to explain a scenario to you. I have this staff of mine. He actually works at the production department. Like he works under the production unit. Mm. Now this guy, he's in school. Mm. He's in the tertiary institution, and of course with our setting here, he goes to school, then comes back in the evening, and then joins in the production, probably sealing up the soap, packaging it, and stuff like that. And you see him working so hard. Like sometimes he can put up an extra 1 hour, 2 hours. Probably he was not able to resume work by 3 p.m. our Nigerian time. And then he needs to retire by 10. And then you see him, maybe he came a little late. Before he would say, please, he could just put a call across and say, oh, I'm sorry, I won't be able to make it by 3, but like 3:30, I'll be there.
Mm.
Believe you me, 3:30 is there. And he will even compensate for the 30 minutes behind. For me, I see that as commitment.
Oh, yes.
He's not doing it like, okay, the owner of the business is not cited, even if she didn't get to know when I clock in, she didn't get to know when I sign in the time book, but he's so committed to what he's doing. Mm-hmm. I had a meeting with my staff on Sunday, and I was actually talking to them about some of our rollout products we wanted to modify, and come and see them coming up with amazing ideas that can actually expand. So for me, I have to say that I really have the best team. They are working so hard.
That tells you a good story. That is a good indicator.
So when someone is able to take initiative to say, okay, what if we do it this way? What if we do it this way? I see that as commitment. I see that as commitment. So their ability to bring up initiatives to say, can we do it this way? I think it will be better this way. For me, I really appreciate that. And it's really helping to push our work and to make it a lot better.
Do you get any kind of support from the National Agency for the Blind in Nigeria? What is the support like?
Okay. Of course, like I also said the other time, our country, well, I came from a very wonderful country. Yeah, well, rich with mineral resources, doing very well. But I'm so sorry to say that somehow our support for persons with disability who are actually entrepreneurs, support from the government is not yet something you can actually talk about. Okay, I see in some of our neighboring countries where you see them supporting persons with disability who are actually entrepreneurs, knowing too well that they're not lazing around. They're doing real stuff. But I hope to see very soon that my nation, Nigeria, of course, well blessed to actually wake up one day to support more persons with disability who are actually entrepreneurs. However, there are some kind philanthropists who will actually identify you probably on one-on-one, or maybe with their relationship with you and stuff like that. They go, okay, fine. Maybe you can make do with this thousand or thereabouts to support what you're doing. But you know what? It's just a handful. Like, there are not too many people really doing that. But then, we hope to get that someday.
Why is that? Why is that support missing?
Yeah, I think but where the missing link is so many people are still stereotyping. Stereotyping in the sense that they usually think that once a person become disabled, you're lazy, you're not able to do anything. Probably your senses are not even working very well. But then, they seem to forget that there is productivity in disability. There are so many people. Okay, let me use, for example, UBC Radio. It's being championed by a group of persons with disability.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are doing a lot. Look at the good work you're doing. I mean, covering over 35 countries, and that's amazing. That's huge. And these are persons with disability. And sometimes I begin to wonder, okay, how do they coordinate? How do they do this? How do they do that? And for me, it's you're rather being very innovative, and you know, people don't even look at it that way.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. People don't even look at it that way. So I think where the missing link is that people are still, some of our governments or some of our politicians who should be supporting entrepreneurs are still stereotyping, thinking that all persons with disability probably are quite lazy, and they are not willing to do something.
I got something to put in here, if you don't mind.
Go ahead, go ahead.
Yeah, so I was thinking, one thing about politicians, the main thing that they worry about is constituents. And the only way that they worry about constituents is if they make enough noise. So what is the disabled community in Nigeria? And I know you can't speak for the whole community, but in your opinion, like, what is the disabled community in Nigeria doing to get the attention of politicians?
All right. I think maybe because of some of my involvement in activities of communities of persons with disability, I can actually give you information in respect to that. Okay. Just 2018, President Muhammad Buhari just signed into the law the Disability Act. Mm-hmm. And now, we have an association called Joint Association of Persons with Disabilities here in Nigeria. Okay? Now, mm-hmm. before that, there was not a kind of a commission or a government entity that represents persons with disability, apart from this JONAPID. Of course, JONAPID, Joint National Association of Persons with Disability. Now, it was in the fight to get a voice, a platform for persons with disability through this JONAPID that we pushed so hard until our president signed into law this Disability Act. Mm-hmm. Now, in response to your question, I'll gladly tell you that communities of persons with disability here in Nigeria actually has a constituency called JONAPID. Beyond that, this Disability Act that has just been enacted has been created, like, it has a commission, National Disability Commission, assigned to it, which basically addresses issues, needs, and, of course, everything revolving around disability matters. So that alone, in conjunction with this JONAPID, it's enough platform for our politicians to reach us out as a constituency. Mm-hmm. Well, unless that is not happening, of course it's not. I won't really take it. I won't blame it. I won't trace it to persons with disability, because for us, I think that's quite enough organization. Now, away from that, different disability clusters, like you have the blind, the physically challenged, the hearing impaired, and stuff like that, they all have their different associations.
And differing needs, needs as well.
Oh, yeah, exactly, different needs. Mm. Of course, the needs of visually impaired person is not same as that of a hearing impaired.
Right, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Right. So they all have the association, both at the local level and at the national level. So any politician or any lawmaker, any executive person that wishes to reach them out, actually have that platform to do so. So it's not really a problem of organization of these persons to be contacted. I think it's just an attitude of negligence. Yeah.
Do you have any idea of the amount of money that the Nigerian government pushes into disabilities?
I can't really say. I can't really say. I would not like to be saying something. I'm not too sure.
Maybe no, I was just wondering whether a subvention goes towards work for
right. Is there any dedicated funding in the budget that goes towards it?
Yeah, you know, what would you even be asking here? Pushing money into what? For what? Is it for their health bill?
So usually with government, you have a budget that's dedicated for different things. Like you have a budget for education.
Yeah.
You have a budget for rehabilitation. You have a budget for infrastructure. And what we're asking is there something in the budget of the Nigerian government that's dedicated towards people with disabilities?
With disability.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, with this a National Disability Commission, of course, under the Ministry of Humanitarian and Special Duties Affairs, of course, that happened sometime ending last year. So I believe with that, the Nigerian Disability Commission under this Ministry of Humanitarian, of course, we have a budget. So there is, and or there should be, a budget for National Disability Commission. Now, the issue might not really be, is there any budget? But it is the utilization of that budget.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, Roku, get something straight here. You can say, DJ Kafai, okay, you give this $1,000 to Mr. Williams, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, the next thing should be, was DJ Kafai, was he able to deliver the money to him?
Did he get Lord. To Mr. Williams? Accountability, accountability.
Gotcha.
Accountability.
That's the issue. You tell me the Nigerian government gave a budget to disability community.
Yeah.
All right, let's call it out. Let's tell it like it is. It is very corrupt.
So there's a lack of transparency here.
Yes.
Yeah. It's probably nicer to say a lack of transparency.
Yeah, I think that's the best. You know, it's better than corruption, right?
Yeah.
It's better than saying corruption, and you know, but. Yeah. There's a lack of transparency, and oftentimes a lack of transparency is not always corruption. I won't say it is or it isn't, but sometimes it's a lot of bureaucracy, or if there's a situation where everything is centralized through that one agency or one body, it's hard to really see what's going on.
And you know, Gary, there's a tendency. Mm-hmm. When you give money into these state agencies to say, oh, well, these guys are disabled.
Nine times out of ten, you don't get...
Spend it as you see fit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and from what I'm listening, what I'm hearing here, there's a commission, right? So yeah. I can assume that there's a commissioner. Mm-hmm. Now, ultimately, the commissioner is in charge of the commission.
Right. And next question, is that commissioner or anyone on that commission disabled?
Okay. Well, the hello?
Yes, we're with you.
All right. Okay, fine. The short answer to your question is yes and no. Okay? Now, let me explain. Of course, I needed to balance the first narrative I gave. When I talked about accountability and, of course, stepping down whatever thing that was received or budgeted, the reason for this commission being created is to, because the members of this commission also should be or should constitute persons with disability.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, in the first place, if they receive from the government as stated, they should be able to let their own colleagues say to know this is what we received and this is what it is.
Yes.
Now, having cleared that, like the National Disability Commission has the highest hierarchy, the executive secretary of the commission. Okay, now at the state level, remember where I told you that this National Disability Commission is at the national level. Now it is expected that every state, we have 36 states in Nigeria, including the Federal Capital Territory, Abuja. So it is expected that each state should domesticate this Disability Act. It is upon the domestication of the Disability Act that the state government will be empowered to set up a commission And with that, there will be a commissioner. I don't know if you follow.
Let me see if I'm following you. You are saying that there's a national commission.
And then there's a state level.
National commission would be replicated at the state level.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So you would have state commissioners and state commissions.
Exactly.
Now, what is the role? I think this is where we need to differentiate. What would be the role then of the national commission?
Okay. The role of the National Commission, of course, ranges from coordinating all affairs of persons with disability from different states. Mm-hmm. It's like a central government. Okay. It's like a central government,
mm-hmm.
like where everybody at the state level reports to. Okay, you know, in Nigeria, we run three state government. Like, we have the federal government, the state government, and the local government.
Yes.
So the National Commission is like the federal government, okay? So the states report to the national.
So it's kind of like supervisory nature, the National Commission. It's a supervisory commission. Exactly. But it doesn't actually carry out the work then. It doesn't actually do work. It pushes paper.
Right. It delegates the state organizations. The national sets the vision, sets the tone, and then delegates the state commissions. But I guess that's not really what I'm getting at. For me, what I'm asking is anyone on these commissions, whether state or national, disabled?
That's
yes or no.
Okay, fine. Let me answer first for the national level. The executive secretary is a person with disability.
Mm-hmm.
Some members of the board of the national, of the NDC, that is National Disability Commission, are actually persons with disability. Now, I think you also need to get this information that this Disability Act has not been domesticated in all the 36 states. Mm-hmm. It's just about, over 10 states. I need to be very sure with my records. Approximately 10 or thereabout states. But those that have really domesticated the act, it's less than those that have not really domesticated the act. So that's to say,
you're saying that the act has not been passed in several state parliaments.
Exactly. Mm. And with that, you can't have a commission, and you cannot have persons with disability coming on board, either as a commissioner or as member of the committee or the member of the board for the commission. But for those states that have actually domesticated the act, you have, take for instance, there's a state called Anambra State, is in the eastern part of the Nigeria. They have their permanent secretary as a person with disability.
Yes.
All right. So, of course, it's going to be a facelift if our country, like, if the government will actually cascade this establishment of Disability Act, the domestication in all the states, honestly, it will really help in the involvement of persons with disability. And of course, that is where the budget we are talking about will come into play.
Mm-hmm.
Where the state government, the national government will be able to say, okay, we are allotting this to Disability Commission. Okay, and you see people walking with it. But for now, I cannot really hit my chest to say.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but shouldn't the National Commission?
You're already putting me on the spot.
Oh yeah, we're way past that. I think I know where Mr. Webber is going. Shouldn't the national make the states adhere?
Yes, shouldn't the national commission step in and ensure that the act is passed by all the parliaments?
Unless there's language in the act that says, you know, you can opt in or opt out.
Yes.
No. Well.
And it shouldn't be, you know.
It shouldn't. But we don't know what the language of the legislation is. Maybe that's why they're not adhering.
I think it's our system. Our system actually gives the state government the right to take the time to review and domesticate that.
Well, that'll never happen.
Yeah, you get it. So we hope that very soon it will go across all the states. Mm.
What? Give us an idea of, I know you don't have it in front of you, but give us an idea of some of the general points in the act, because I'm fascinated. Will become law next week, Monday. So I am very curious to know what's in the act for you.
Okay, all right. Nigerian Prohibition Act against persons with disability bill is actually a 5-section act, okay? And section 1 talks about the rights of persons with disability as it relates to their human rights, okay? Everything that has to do with human rights, rights to education, right to reproductive life, rights to life, right to choose. I mean, everything.
Yes, all the rights, salient rights. Yes.
Now, the next one talks about the provision for education, mm-hmm. where they talked about support, that these people should not be excluded from education. It's not really like giving them a free education. No, the act did not make provision for free education. What it made provision for is inclusive education, where these persons with disability will not be kept at home because they have disability, but they should be allowed to go to school.
So is education free in Nigeria?
For who? For persons with disability?
No, for people generally.
No.
Okay,
no.
So they're not, it's not that we're being left out. It's not that disabled people are being left out.
No.
Okay.
No, fine. Now, but you know, I always talk about consideration. You know, it won't really hurt. It will be enough encouragement that this person who already disabled encourages this person to go to school by paying at least the tuition fee.
Yes.
Okay? Yes. That's not asking too much.
No, but I think what they're using on you is that, look, the rest of the society is being charged, so why should...
Right.
You know, that's the idea.
That's where equal treatment goes both ways.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we talk about this a lot, like, well, you know, we should give disabled people, you know, maybe a discount to get on a bus, right? Mm-hmm. But what does that say to the rest of society?
Yeah, mm-hmm. True. So, like, mm-hmm. persons in your country of Nigeria, I mean, persons, let's say, well, disabled on the whole, I mean, do you guys have, like, a special institution whereby they go and get an education? Or you guys integrate them into the public schools?
That's a good question.
It's in both ways. We have some schools designated for persons with disability, and we also have schools that are inclusive. So it's in both ways.
Who decides?
Of course, the parents, the guardian, or the disabled person.
Well, I mean, a child can't really make that decision.
At times, the educational institution also decides, because you can apply for an admission. You know, we don't have inclusive materials or assistive devices to support your education, so we can admit you. So it's in both ways.
Quite interesting.
I think I've actually experienced that. I recall some time ago, there's a private university I actually applied to run a program, a degree program. I said, okay, fine. We're going to admit you. I said, just before we go on, I think I need to let you know I'm a blind person. They said, oh, no.
Case closed.
When are we going to admit you? We've not had a blind person before. We don't even know how we're going to examine
typical.
You. They opted out. So it was my choice to go to the school, but they said, no, we can't because we don't have all it takes to have you as our student. So it's in both ways. Exactly.
So does the Disability Act, when it preaches inclusive education, does it lay out a framework to address some of these questions or issues?
To a great extent, it does, because in fact, I will say yes, because it addresses the core issue, the core problem, which is that exclusiveness, persons with disability being excluded, being denied the right of. So in this country now, if I apply to any institution and I got an admission and I merited it, you say I'm not going to go to school. Once the Disability Act has been domesticated in that state, in that location, that institution can actually be sued because you are denying me my right to go to school.
Can I ask a question? It might seem out of place, but I'll tell you where I'm going. How old is the National Commission?
Okay, fine. That's a very good question. The Disability Act was signed into law, December 2018, and the National Disability Commission was enacted last year.
So it's still fledgling. It's a fledgling commission.
Of course, I was privileged to be part of the commissioning of the commission this last year, December, during the National World International Disability Day.
Okay. So technically speaking, they don't have much. The point I was trying to get at is that they have not yet acquired that much experience in terms of being a commission for people with disabilities.
It's still an upcoming experience.
Yes. And they
it's still an upcoming experience.
And it takes some effort to know exactly what is on the ground. Especially with a large territory like Nigeria.
I believe if they will be able to work with the they rolled out a 5-year strategic plan. Of course,
sorry about the pressure. That's all right. You continue. Meet my chief.
Okay. If you could say with the amiable executive secretary we have there, he's a person with disability, and of course with the honorable minister for humanitarian and special duties, I could say they've boarded the right flights. The right flight in the sense these persons have actually acquired some technical experience. Maybe being a person with disability, or they've actually walked through as a person, or rather on individual basis, to develop or acquire knowledge on how to walk around this. However, there is this set out or it rolled out 5-year strategic plan they've actually put in place. So if they had to follow that judiciously, I'm sure that she'll be doing something amazing.
Mm. Awesome, awesome. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, So in what percentage you would say the disabled population of Nigeria is currently unemployed? If you have to give like a percentage.
I think I did, there's a study we're doing on the persons with disability. Yeah, about 48% of persons, so that I don't speak from both sides of my mouth. I'm not too sure of that, but it's not anything less than 40. If I can just take a pause, I'll just Google it out to know how percentage of persons. Yeah,
all right.
It's just the other public day, so you can just say. But I don't want to speak from both sides of my mouth. I mean, it's actually huge. Of course, you know, with this pandemic and whole lot of things, but a lot of persons with disability are not employed.
But how to survive? I mean, okay, there is not anything that the commission in Nigeria have in place for persons who are differently able in terms of like for them to get like some the word
like
I'm trying to use, like a disability
a monthly stipend, right?
Yes,
a maintenance or allowances. No,
yeah,
but yeah, of course, that's actually where. It appears that it's kind of a little difficult for persons with disability, apart from supports from their maybe family members, maybe your struggles on a daily basis to do one or two things, maybe do some menial job, do some things, stops here and there.
So the majority of persons with disabilities still actually live with their family?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A lot of persons with disability.
Can you give us off the top of your head the total number of people with disabilities? Roughly how many people we're talking about in Nigeria?
That are worse?
No, that are disabled. The last census.
We have over 20 million persons with disability.
20 million. Nigeria. That's a huge.
That's a pretty significant percentage.
Yes.
Because that's about 10% of your population.
Only in my state, we have about just the last short survey we did, which of course didn't really capture everything. We have over 7.5 million persons.
Well, from what I just got there, information I just got from 195 million, 29 million persons with various disability.
Okay.
Million. You can imagine. Yeah, from 195, yeah.
29 million. Can you imagine if you went to Nigeria and convened a national conference?
That's huge, isn't it?
Eh?
Wow. 29 million, that's a lot of people.
That's a huge number of people. So when you talk about, let's assume that 50% are unemployed.
More. It's more than that.
So it's over 14.5 million.
Wow.
That would be that's a huge number. How do you even begin to solve a problem like that?
That's why you see a lot of them on the streets begging. That's why you see a lot of them on the streets.
That is tough, man.
We better beg for a break.
Yeah, because we have our next guest waiting.
How do you want them to survive?
They don't have a choice.
The truth, of course, like I said earlier on, I strongly believe that my beautiful nation will actually grow to know what it means to take care of the vulnerables, okay? I understand that globally a lot of support could come from here and there, and it appears that people are not quite prioritizing maybe to say, let's take care of these people.
It's a drop in the bucket.
But then it speaks volume, because Let me put it this way. Your ability to take care of your old mother speaks volume of who you are.
Of course. Of course.
If my people should know that these vulnerables are their people, that they should do that. In a normal setting, if we can put things in place, like give them a good education, get them employed. Even if you won't employ them, set up factories, set up mechanisms. They can actually fix these people that will make
do
them
something.
End.
Do something. Yeah. Do something.
People give them the stipend. Just give them the hook to fish the fish. They are good to go. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let me take for instance myself and some of the people I shared with you the other time that we are trying. That's why I came up with this initiative. Well, as people are not really, there is no job. In fact, the persons without disability are not even properly employed. They are not gainfully employed. How much more persons with disability? And I came up with this initiative. Why should we be waiting? Let's get into entrepreneurship. Let's get into a job. Let's get into business. Instead of teaching them how to do stuff, you know, go into vocational rehabilitation so that you can actually learn to do stuff for yourself.
This can't be the last interview. We would love to have you back from time to time.
We need to.
Not necessarily next week, but we need to bring you back from time to time to update us on what is happening in Nigeria.
It is just
definitely
because we can't absorb all of this in one or two programs.
No,
not at all.
But we want to thank you very much because we know that your time is valuable. You travel, you run a business, you are rehabilitating people.
Beautiful.
And, and we appreciate you and we just love you.
We love you, Precious.
Definitely.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much. And I also appreciate how you, Mr. Radio. You're really doing amazing, amazing things.
Yes,
and
no.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
If you have any questions or comments regarding this program, please address them to norwill2@gmail.com. That is norwill2@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Have a happy and productive week. That's it for today. Join me next time when we will present another in the series Vision Scope. Music was provided by Rennie Williams Jr. That's it for today. Join me next time when we will present another in the series Vision Scope. Music was provided by Rennie Williams Jr.